Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, I'm going to go into a just released, March 20th, actually, Court of Appeals case regarding wills. And we're maybe adding a new classification of bequests.
Oh, no
wills.
Kidding.
And it's pretty interesting because, you know, when I went through law school, there's only four. But maybe we have a fifth now. So it's kind of interesting and entertaining. And, you know, we got to love those handwritten wills. Because those tend to give us the best case law out there with regards to the study in wills.
Those have an interesting name, handwritten wills.
Holographic wills.
Yeah,
that's right. They're called holographic wills in the testator's own handwriting. And that's the case that we have before us today. But before we get there, what I want to do is just go through and just break down what we have currently now, which are what the current bequests in a will are.
Okay.
And people, you know, when they come in our office sometimes, they have their plan of how they maybe want to devise or give their estate. And then we quickly have to say, okay, are we sure we want to do that? Because there are certain times where when you give an asset, you may not want to be so specific because it really can get limiting depending on the twists and turns.
But you say there are four.
There are four, yeah.
Okay.
So number one is going to be your just stock-specific bequests. So a specific bequest is where you allocate a particular asset to a particular beneficiary. Real simple example, you know, my 2018 Corvette that I don't have, unfortunately, to Ben, that would be a good example of what we call a specific bequest. A lot of people are interested in giving jewelry out this way or family heirlooms. And I think before on the show, I've mentioned that we encourage at Harvell & Collins, you know, that be something that we would leave in a memorandum that we reference in the will so an individual could change that.
Instead of that specifically.
Yeah, exactly right. Because, you know,
stuff changes.
Your 2018 Corvette may get in a wreck tomorrow, and then you may end up with a 2019 Corvette, and then we got a problem because technically that gift, that bequest is no longer valid. It's abated. So that's just your stock-specific bequests, okay? The next one is demonstrative bequests, and this is a precise distribution from or of a particular asset. So this is your 100 shares of GE to Ben, $1,000 from my Wells Fargo account to Ben. So it's either a particular asset that we're giving.
Kenzie, see, you're not getting any of that.
We're either giving
it all to me,
giving particular securities, or you're directing a set sum of money to come from a particular account.
Right.
Again, maybe not the best idea to do this type of gift because you never know. You know, here recently with banks, Wachovia became Wells Fargo.
That's right.
And then,
that's
you know, tracking those, you know, we have case law on that about how we can go back and look and see what securities were before. But, you know, 10,000 shares can become 20,000 shares on a stock split. I mean, it's just stuff that can happen. That
my dad gave me a share of Shamrock Chemical Company back in the 60s. Then it became Diamond Shamrock Chemical Company, and it split. And then it became something else. I think it's part of it is Valero.
Exactly.
Now, and then part of it is something else. And I've lost it now. It costs more to recovery than it's worth.
Well, you better believe it, Ben. And that's a prime example right there why, you know, maybe not the best idea to say specifically what stock you're giving, just because, you know, anything can happen. And then it's difficult to decide, you know, whether that bequest is abated or whether we can go back and trace it and figure out, okay, yeah, you get this many shares, even though it's now grown to be, you know, this many shares because the stock is split. So,
okay. So that's three types. Right?
That's your demonstrative bequest.
That's number two.
Yeah. And then number three is just your general bequest. So this is just a precise dollar amount, but you're not designating it to come from a specific account.
Okay.
So, you know, $10,000 to Ben.
Right.
We put all of our assets into the estate and one of the checks that will be written will be $10,000 to Ben. It doesn't matter where it came from. It could come from your bank account. It could come from selling stock. It could come from selling your car. that mm-hmm. money is just not tied to a particular asset.
Right.
And that's a good way to do it, you know, mm-hmm. in all honesty, because, you know, that way we don't care if the stock splits 100
right.
times. We don't care if the company changes names.
Mm-hmm.
If we're saying $10,000 to Ben, we're making sure he gets that value,
okay.
assuming that you have that amount in the estate.
Right.
But that's your general bequest.
Mm-hmm.
And then number four is your residuary bequest.
Mm-hmm.
And your residuary bequest is basically all property not distributed out under the first three ways I went through.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you'll see all rest, residue, and remainder in a will, and then we divide it out. Like, if I just want to give everything to Ben, all rest, residue,
or
and remainder.
Or might be
to Ben.
A percentage.
Correct. Or now, 50% to Ben, mm-hmm. 50% to
Kenzie. Yeah, there you go.
Are we going to give her something?
Yeah, no. Well, so, but the general bequest wouldn't include things that might be a percentage, or could that include it under general?
Could be, but typically yeah. you see percentages in your residuary.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way it normally works. And so, you know, those are different ways that you can decide how to give mm-hmm. your assets. And like I said, four ways.
And now there's a fifth.
And now there may be a fifth. The All Court right. of Appeals has ruled that we may have a fifth. And the last thing I'll say, just to preface, is mm-hmm. that, you know, creditors of the estate are individuals that you owe money to, basically, mm-hmm. when you pass away. So, you know, if you have medical bills or credit card bills, or let's say you signed a promissory note,
mm-hmm.
Any of those would be creditors who could file claims against your estate
right.
and be paid, but they're not beneficiaries under a will.
Mm-hmm.
They're people that come forward later
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, by the way, when you're divvying up this money through the estate process,
yeah.
we need to get paid.
Right.
And they come in classes and they actually file claims against the estate,
mm-hmm.
but they're not beneficiaries under the will. They're typically not named in a will.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go.
All right.
And this one comes out of Cumberland County, Fayetteville, North Carolina, my hometown. So
mm-hmm.
when I saw the names here, I recognized some of the lawyers that were involved in this one. Ernest died in May of 2013, and he had a handwritten will, as we alluded to earlier,
mm-hmm.
and basically said, all of my insurance monies go into a pot and are paid out in the following manner. And number five said, pay the note at BB&T that's in my sister Peggy's name.
Okay.
So he says all the money from my life insurance comes into the estate, and then it goes out the certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
And number five says, pay the note.
So
at
this
the BB&T.
Was down the line. It wasn't,
yeah, that's
wasn't
in my sister's
okay.
name.
Right.
Okay. So sister says, great, fantastic, wonderful. Executor, here's my statement for my I think it may have been a mortgage, it may mm-hmm. have just been a personal loan, but here's my loan balance at BB&T that you're directed to pay
mm-hmm.
through the estate process. And the executors get it, and their lawyers probably look at it, and they're like, no, we're not going to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
We think that, you know, this is saying that the money's going to go to BB&T. He's not – that's not his loan.
Mm-hmm.
That's your loan, Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the decedent's loan. So, therefore, we'll treat you as a creditor of the estate.
Right.
But we're not going to treat you as a beneficiary of this particular estate.
So –
so the question becomes, Ben, when you handwrite your will, not a great idea, by the way, as we can see that we're
right.
up in Court of Appeals, and you leave and you say, pay off Andrew's loan,
mm-hmm.
do you think that I'm then a beneficiary of the estate?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think that somehow, some way, BB&T becomes a creditor of the estate?
Okay, one question is the word note, does that have a legal definition here?
Just a note meaning that, you know.
It could be a loan.
Yeah.
Any promissory note.
Exactly.
Could be
so she signed something saying, you know, like, I will
she
pay back
it.
This money. Exactly right.
So
what do you think? You think that we have a bequest under a will that Peggy is a beneficiary?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we think that she's a somehow creditor and BB&T is the ultimate, you know, ultimate creditor in this situation that deserves to be paid? And guess what the Court of Appeals said?
I'm going to guess they cited that BB&T is a creditor or here. Nope. Nope.
Guess what?
What?
An indirect devise, an indirect bequest is what the Court of Appeals said. And that's why I said we're adding to the bequest in mm-hmm. this particular case. Because what they said was that Peggy was a beneficiary under the will, but indirectly, because she gets her loan paid off.
Yeah, right.
So here we are in a situation where now we have a fifth potential bequest under a will where you could designate to pay off someone's loan balance.
You could say pay off Junior's car loan.
Pay off Junior's car loan, and guess what? That now may be an indirect bequest.
Wow.
First time ever in North Carolina that we've seen it,
mm-hmm.
where they're not a creditor. BB&T can't come in and file an action against the estate. They actually, Peggy is
this
an indirect beneficiary.
So which gets paid first anyway, the creditor or the bequest?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the creditors typically do get paid before any bequest would get paid.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here, and I didn't mention this fact, is that if they were treated as a creditor, they would have been deemed late to the party. You have the 3 months period
right.
where you have to file your claim, and she was late in submitting her paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the executors here were trying to pull one saying, denied, your claim is denied, you're a creditor of the estate, now go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because probably... I'm just going to guess on this one. I didn't see the actual copy of the will. I'm guessing maybe the executors were probably, would be benefited
mm-hmm.
by the fact that this would have been a late claim and they wouldn't have had to pay out the
$90,000. Yeah.
More money in their pocket.
Yeah.
So that was a good tactic there by their lawyer. But ultimately, the Court of Appeals says, no. Look, she is an indirect beneficiary
mm-hmm.
because her loan shall be paid through this estate process.
It was his wish.
Yeah, it was his wish.
So that's what part of what the court does.
And it's one of those little mind benders because you think about it, Ben, you're like, okay, well, I think she's a beneficiary. And then you think about it more and you're like, wait a minute. Now they got to write a check to BB&T. Well, they seem like a creditor. And so it just starts getting in your head,
mm-hmm.
twisted. Moral of the story is that we don't want you to find you in this situation where your handwritten will is going to the Court of Appeals. So come by to Harvell and Collins and let's set you up with good estate planning documents.
Yeah. And now if in that document you could say, well, I want you to pay off Junior's car loan.
We could.
Yeah. But you wouldn't advise it.
I don't think I'd advise that.
Yeah, right. Find out more. You can call on the folks at Harvell and Collins or go online at harvellandcollins.com and email Andrew A. Foster at harvellandcollins.com.